our new series today, which is called Spring Cleaning. And you can see that by the sign up there. How many of you have already started your spring cleaning? Whoa, okay. Little hangover from the cold weather. Maybe you're not quite ready. You know, one of the things I like to do in the garage is to get out all of that dirt that has accumulated in the garage. You know, as you come in the winter and then stuff melts off your car and it goes in there. It's just like, you know, there's just dust and everything all over the place. Last week, just got that out. It was a dust storm and trying to get all that stuff out of the garage. So it's time to sort of let the sun in, and it reveals, however, some of those things that we really haven't been paying that much attention to. Cobwebs over here in this corner and dust and dirt over here in this corner in that garage. And so sometimes we think about this idea of spring cleaning. And so that's what I want us to think about over the next 2 months. But I don't want us to think about the stuff that's inside our house. I want to focus on the cleaning of the inside of our hearts, not the inside of our houses. And so over these next several weeks, we're going to look at things that God wants to remove from our life. And it really is God who has to do the job. You and I cannot remove things like envy or gossip or lust or jealousy or greed or anger. We have to have God do that. And so over these next couple of months, we're going to look at the Word of God. What does the Bible say about how to clean those things out from our lives? How do we remove the influence? How do we remove those things that can so bind us and so hinder not only our lives, but our relationship with God and the way that God would have to use us in the world in which we live? So we're going to start with the first one, which is kind of a bit of an introduction and really a precursor to everything else. We're going to talk about sloth today. This is a picture of a sloth. I don't know how many of you have sloths at home. Anyone have a sloth at home? We'll get to that in a minute. But this is a picture of a sloth, and these little guys are in Central and South America typically. And do you know that they primarily eat, sleep, and give birth while hanging from limbs? So how about that, ladies? How would you like to think about giving birth while hanging from a limb? And so the sloth really kind of is associated with the word what in our culture? Lazy. Okay? And that apparently is because that on the ground, they can only move about 6.5 feet a minute. They look like they could move faster than that, but so that's about this little thing right here. That would be, you know, just takes them a minute to get from here to here. We're really not going to talk about sloths today. The kind of sloth we're going to talk about is more like this right here. All right? This is what we tend to think of more when we use the word sloth or when we think of laziness, all right? We tend to think of somebody like this. And so we're going to talk about lazy today a little bit, but it might be a little different than what you think it's going to be. Because what I want to talk about in this idea of laziness, and laziness is not something that most of us would admit to being. In fact, most of us are very busy. In fact, really all of us are busy. We're busy all of the time. We have all kinds of activities. If I were to show you my calendar that we have on our refrigerator, I mean, every block has multiple entries in it of things to do, places to be, meetings to attend, whatever the case may be. And it's all, we're always busy. But the title today is, Are We Busy Being Lazy? Are we busy doing the things that God would want us to do? And it can revolve around a matter of perspective. For example, if this guy was married, his wife might say, hey, you're being lazy. But he would say, no, I'm busy taking a nap. All right? You might want your daughter to do her laundry and she's texting. And so you think she's being lazy, but she's like, no, mom, I'm not being lazy. I'm busy building relationships. All right? I'm busy doing those kinds of things. Maybe your son, you want him to mow the grass and he's not mowing the grass. Instead, he's playing video games and you think you're being lazy. You're not mowing the grass. He's like, I'm not being lazy. I'm busy playing video games. You know, I'm working on coordination of my thumbs and index fingers. So really, it's all a matter of perspective. It's a matter of how it is that we look at our lives, how it is that God looks at our lives. And the truth of the matter is that it is absolutely possible to be busy and lazy at the same time. It is possible to be busy and lazy at the same time. The question is, what are we busy about? We're all busy. We are all busy. We all have busy schedules. We all have full calendars. We all have things that are going on in our lives at all time. But are we busy being lazy? Now, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you have a primary job description. The follower of Jesus has a primary agenda, and that is as one of servant, right? The Bible says that those of us who follow Christ are servants. We enter into a master-servant relationship with God. God is not really looking for me or you to provide ideas for his agenda. Instead, he has things that he's doing in our world, and he invites us to come and join him. He's not looking for us to be the boss. He's looking for us to help him accomplish his work. He wants to accomplish his work through us. And the Bible is full of exhortation for us to be busy about doing the things of God. Here's one of those texts from Romans chapter 12. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep, be of the same mind toward one another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble, do not be wise in your own opinion, repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, when I read through that scripture, I start to get anxious because there's a lot to do there. There's a lot to do. And if we move on to Hebrews chapter 6, we read this, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There is this exhortation to us as followers of Jesus to get busy, to be busy. And so we have a command to be busy, but most of those things that we looked at in Romans chapter 10 are not the kind of things that we typically think about in terms of being busy. Those are the things like praying for one another, exhorting one another, encouraging one another, are things that we typically don't write up on the calendar, but they're very important for us to do as followers of Jesus Christ. It's very important that we engage in those kind of behaviors as we walk through our life. We are going to spend all of our time. Right? You're going to spend it. I don't know how much you get. You don't know how much you have. But you're going to spend every second of it. You can't save time. You can't bank it. You can't pull it out later. We've talked about this before. You are going to spend all of your time. I'm going to spend all of my time. Am I spending it fulfilling God's agenda? And this is really important as a precursor to the rest of these weeks because, again, as we think about envy, as we think about gossip, as we think about jealousy, as we think about these things that really impact our lives, if we're not willing to let God get busy working on those things in our lives, we can't get rid of them on our own. We can try and we can try and we can try and we can busy ourselves trying to make resolutions and trying to make new decisions, but if we don't let God do it, we're not going to be successful. And so we need to be busy about the things that God desires for us, not simply just adding things to our schedule. In fact, this is not a get-to-work sermon. Right? This is not one of those messages where I'm going to roll out a volunteer list and say, look, we need you to serve here and serve here and serve here. We're very thankful for those who do that. Some people in this congregation give 10, 20 hours a week at times, volunteering their time to certain aspects of ministry here, and we couldn't function without them. But that's not everybody. And that's not really even where I'm going today. I just want to ask you to think about the question, are you busy being lazy about the things of God? Number one. Three words we're going to talk about today. God can clean out the laziness by giving me his perspective. Perspective. We need God's perspective on our day and on our agenda. For many, perspective improves with age. Would you agree with me on that? For most of us, perspective improves with age. The older we get, the kind of wiser we get about what we do with our time and how we use our time. Remember when you were 5 years old? And when Christmas came, it seemed like an eternity until next Christmas came. You kind of remember that? How's that work now when you're like 35 or when you're 45? You know, most people, a lot of people anyway, have Christmas and they don't even get all the bills paid off from that Christmas before the next Christmas comes. It just tends to go so fast. Now, we know intellectually that it really doesn't go any faster. We know that when you're 40, time goes just the same amount of time that, you know, the wavelength of light that determines a second. None of that stuff changes, but it just seems like it goes by so much faster. But one of the things that also happens with age is that we gain wisdom and we gain a perspective about this. And at some point in our lives, we sort of transition from thinking about how old we're getting to thinking about how much time we have left. Now, for example, when you're 5, you can only wait till you get to be 10. You want to be 10 because you want to get to double digits. And then when you're 10, you want to be 13, because then you can be a teenager. And when you're 13, what's that age you want to get to next, kids? 16, because then you get to drive. And then when you're 16, you wait till you get to be 18, I guess. Those, not a lot of great things that happen at 18. But then when you're 18, you wait till you get to be what? 21. And then when you're 21, it's all downhill from there. All right? Nothing. You don't wait anymore for stuff like that. But at some point, so you're constantly waiting for the next year, right? You're constantly waiting for that birthday that, to come along. But when you're 40, you're not just really waiting for 45. You know? It's not like, oh, I can't wait to hit 50. You know, or I can't wait to hit 65. You know, that we, our focus changes, doesn't it? Our perspective changes in how precious and valuable time appears to us in our lives. Here's a sentence that I think is very true for us. The brevity of our time reminds us of the necessity to make our time count as a servant of the Lord. The brevity of our time reminds us of the necessity to make our time count as a servant of the Lord. We just simply cannot afford to be busy being lazy about the things that God does not desire us to be involved in or to do in our lives. Let me just remind you from the scripture about this idea of the brevity of life. In Psalm 90, Moses writes this, "For 1,000 years in your sight, in God's sight, are like yesterday when it is past and like a watch in the night." So, I mean, just 1,000 years on this earth is just like that to God from an eternal perspective. Another one is in James chapter 3. "Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." How many of you like to drink tea? Maybe you've got, you know, you've got a little spot of tea on the stove. And this is what James is describing here, is it's just like that little bit of steam, that little wisp of steam that comes up and then it goes away. That's what our life is like in terms of eternity. It's like a vapor which appears for a little time and vanishes away. So he says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So it's what God desires that's important for us. It's the fact that we have this very, very small sliver of time in the scope of how of our eternal soul, and we need to use that wisely, and we need God's perspective on the brevity of that time. So do you have that? Do you have God's perspective on your time? Do you recognize how valuable your time is because of how precious it is? God has given us time. But God has given us something to do with that time. And it's for His glory and for our good. Second word is priority. God can clean out the laziness by giving me His priority. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." Now, the challenge for us is that we tend to want to focus on all the other things. And so we fill up our days, we fill up our calendars with ideas and things that acquire for us all of the other things. But Jesus said, no, what we need to do is, Jesus, if you want to follow me, if you want to understand what kingdom life is like, which is what Matthew 6 and the Sermon on the Mount is all about, you need to understand that you need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That the priority for the follower of Jesus is to seek God and to seek His kingdom, and everything else will be added to you after that. But the problem with that is that it takes faith to have God's priorities. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to seek first the kingdom of God and then to let God fill in everything else that we have to do. It takes faith to believe that because we need those other things. We want those other things. But God simply says, no, choose me first. Put me at the top of your priority list and I will help to take care of everything else in your life. God says to me, Eric, don't be busy being lazy by doing things. I mean, not lazy. Got all kinds of things going on in my life. But don't do those things that don't seek me first. I'll take care of everything else if you will simply seek me first. The Bible is the best time saver known to mankind. It really is. This is the best time saver that anyone has ever come up with. And what I mean by that is that the Bible, the Word of God, is the way that God uses and resource that God uses to help keep us from having to be busy with so many bad choices. I mean, you know, it takes time to be worried. It takes time to deal with unhealthy stress. It takes time to recover from situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in that had we followed and listened to what God had to say to us, we never would have found ourselves in the first place. I've shared with you before that it is rare that someone comes into my office in the last 22 years that I've been doing pastoral ministry and sits down with a laundry list of difficulties and problems. It does happen from time to time, but it's rare. And I'll say, well, tell me about what God's doing in your life. What are you reading? What's your prayer life like? That they would say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm daily in the Word. I'm constantly involved in a small group here at church. You know, I do all these things with God. That almost never happens. That almost never happens. It's, oh, I don't really do that. That's never really been a part of my life. And so the Word of God, if we'll make it a priority, He says, you know what? I will help you through my Spirit to avoid all of those things or many of those things that often turn into time wasters for us. Or things that just take us places where we don't want to go. What I really want you to do as we think about this message, as we think about, we're going to end here in a few minutes, but what I want you to think about is really not how to add stuff to your schedule. But it's really more taking things off your schedule and adding in some time with God. Now, some of you are here this morning. I know. You don't read the Bible. I don't know who you are specifically. I'm not interested in that. But you just don't do it. And you think, I just don't have time. Because there's probably very few of you, maybe some of you, and we want to try to convince you that this is not the case, but maybe some of you who say, you know what, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it to me. But I want you to believe with faith that it is worth it for you. It is worth it for you to take 5 or 10 or 15 minutes out of your day and read the Word of God and to take some time and to pray. It is worth it for you. And if you think it's worth it but you don't have time, then I have one very practical suggestion for most of you. Here's the practical suggestion. Don't go on the internet until you've read your Bible. Just don't go on the internet. Don't check my status update. Don't check your friend's status update until you've let God sort of give you an update on your status. Just do that. You'll find something out. You know what you'll find? You'll find you have time to read the Bible. Even if in the beginning you are actually more interested in somebody's status update who really doesn't care about you, but maybe you're interested in them, and you're really interested in that, you'll find out that as motivation to get to read what Aunt Susie's doing, you'll read the Bible. And eventually, it will come to the point where God's opportunity to update your status is a lot more important than what somebody else is doing. Now, I'm not against Facebook. I'm on it every day. I enjoy it. I think it's a very useful tool. But my question for you is, if that or other things are what you are busy about, without doing some of the things that God would like you to do, are you busy being lazy? You're not lazy in terms of not having something to do, but are you really doing those things that God would want you to do? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And all these things will be added unto you. I have no formula. I have no legalistic way of telling you, look, you got to read this, you got to do this, you got to do that. That's not where I'm going. I want you to think about it as it relates to God. Do you have God's priority in your life? Does your service for the Lord have your highest priority? And again, I don't mean 10, 20 hours of volunteer work. Some of you are called to do that. Some of you are able to do that, and that's great. And we couldn't function without you. But for the majority of people, it's just simply, God, or do you have priority? Am I really seeking first your kingdom and letting you add everything else into my life? Because as we start thinking about trying to get rid of envy, as we start thinking about trying to let God get rid of lust, we start thinking about letting God deal with our anger. There is no self-help book. There is no resource out there that's going to help you more than God helping you. But if He has no access to your life, you can't really plug in the vacuum cleaner to suck out the envy. But if He does have access to your life, He will make those changes from the inside out. My final word, and I'm done. Productivity. Productivity. God can clean out the laziness by giving me His productivity. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get really, really frustrated when I spend a lot of time doing something and I don't feel like I've gotten anything out of it. Have you ever been there? Most of us have been there, right? We do something and it just feels like we're not getting the return on the investment. It takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of effort. God has this great promise for us. God has this great promise for His servants that when we do what God wants us to do, it always matters. And we've talked about this principle before. I just want to talk about it again. Apart from God, What can you accomplish on this earth that will really matter? Now, that's not meant to say that doing something that, you know, whatever you're doing at work, you say, hey, are you telling me that that doesn't matter? No, of course it matters. The Bible says that whatever we do all for the glory of God. So we're accomplishing, and we can be busy about the Lord's work while we're teaching, while we're cutting somebody's hair, while we're digging a ditch, while we're designing a bridge, whatever the case may be, while we're farming, whatever it is, we can be busy about doing the Lord's work while we're doing those things. But what I want you to understand is that apart from God, if you divorce God from that, if you're like, you know, I'm not really interested in any of that, I just want to be the best widget maker that I can be, does that really matter? I don't think that any one of us here this morning will be written about in the history books. I don't think anybody will be studying my life 100 years from now, or will be studying your life. Now, maybe some of you, maybe that would be cool if it was one of you that would, you know, whatever. I don't know what you would do, invent something, be some sort of sports star or something like that that people will read about you. But for the most part, that's not happening in our lives. But let's even think about those people that we have read about. Let's think about someone like Edison, who invented the light bulb. Do you think that if Thomas Edison didn't live, that we would be sitting here in dark? No. Do you think if Alexander Graham Bell had never lived, that we would not have cell phones today? Do you think if whoever invented, the name is escaping me, the guy who invented the vaccine for polio, Salk? Jonas Salk? You think if he had never lived, do you think that polio would still be a really, really significant issue for us, at least in our country today? I doubt it. Because even those people that we read about and that have done these famous things, I'm pretty sure that if they hadn't lived, somebody else would have come along and figured out how electricity and figured out how to make a light bulb. Somebody else would have come along and figured out how to make a telephone. In fact, if you think about Edison, I don't know whether Edison was a follower of Jesus or not, but if Edison gets to stand before God someday and Edison says, hey, you need to let me into heaven because I invented the light bulb, you know what God's going to say? God's going to say, well, in heaven, my glory is the light, so we don't need those things here. So maybe that worked out really cool for you while you were down there, but your life was just a little vapor which appears for a little time, and eternity is going to be forever and ever, and we don't need light bulbs here because my glory shines. The things that we do for God, even in the context of our work, the things that we might not think about, but if we do them for the glory of God, they matter. Nothing else really matters from God's perspective. Productivity. Look at this great verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that verse. Memorized it years ago. Because when you're a follower of Jesus, you pour your life into people sometimes, you invest things, and it just doesn't work out the way that you want. And the temptation is to say, well, that was a waste of time. And this verse screams out, no. God screams out to you that whatever you do, that you do not labor in vain. Again, when you witness to somebody and they don't come to know Jesus, or they don't care what you have to say, have you failed to see someone converted? No, you've succeeded in witnessing. When you pour out your life into somebody and they don't respond back, have you failed in some way? No, you've succeeded in loving them. But God has to be involved in that. He has to be the motivation. He has to be the reason why we do the things that we do. And the productivity that we have as God's servants will matter for all eternity. All eternity. I don't really fully understand the whole reward system and how it's all going to work out in heaven. And there seems to be evidence that we're going to get rewards for the things that we do here on earth. And if that is the case, I don't know exactly how it's going to be parceled out. Don't know exactly how it's going to work out. But that's what I want. I would hope that's what you want. So when you give to the Children's Aid Society, or when you give to missionaries, and when you volunteer, when you serve and things, and when you work for the glory of God, all of that counts forever. Everything else, no matter how spectacular it appears on this little globe that we live on, for this tiny little piece of time that we live on, doesn't matter. It has no value. So even from a productivity standpoint, you and I cannot afford to be busy being lazy. Perspective. Perspective. Get God's perspective on your time. It's very brief, but it's very, very valuable. Priority. Gosh, put Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Make time for the things of God. You will not be disappointed. And then productivity. Men and women, we have an incredible opportunity to serve God in an incredible time in which we live. It doesn't mean adding a bunch of stuff to your calendar. It doesn't mean changing your personality type. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It just simply means being open to God's activity in your life so that you can be productive in ways that matter forever. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for just a brief reminder today of how important your agenda is for our lives, how important your agenda is for your kingdom. And Lord, help us as we really prepare to what I hope to do is over these next 7 or 8 weeks to really drill down into some areas of sin and things that really impact our lives. Lord, I pray that we would begin by opening up our hearts to you. Lord, we invite you to do spring cleaning. We invite you to bring in the divine vacuum cleaner, the divine swifter, the divine whatever it is to come into our hearts, to sweep out those things that really take up so much of our time and can be so destructive in our lives. Father, for those who don't know Jesus Christ, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about that, but they need to come into a relationship with you. That's the only way that they can get your divine help. Father, if they would like to talk about that, I pray they would come and see me as we pray or see somebody else. We just want to usher them into the knowledge and presence of this living and great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.